Well done. Well done. Find my strength in you. That theme is echoed in the passage we are about to read from John chapter 6. It's one of several difficult passages filled with hard words that Jesus utters. In fact, today, the impact of Jesus saying what he does today, he loses a good deal of his disciples because of their reaction and distaste for what he says. Because indeed the theme is that he urges his followers to be nourished in him, by him. We turn to John chapter 6, verses 56 through 60. This is in the midst of a very long passage that Jesus has been speaking for more than several dozens of verses. And Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me and will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if I were to say the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Is it the Spirit that gives life? The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus turned and asked his 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, and his answer was answering for them, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.' This is the word of the Lord." Cut from the team. I should say more appropriately, withdrawing from Jesus' team. The words of Jesus are not always easy to understand. The words of Jesus are not always easy to live. But to live successfully in this world as God's child, we must listen and follow. A young man from the city was visiting a dude ranch and wanted to appear as if he understood all things that were going on, and looking about himself, he walked around with his thumbs in his belt loop, kind of swayed just a little bit, walking to the barnyard, and he tried to start up a conversation with one of the locals. "Say, look at that big bunch of buffaloes." The hired hand replied to him, "Not bunch, but herd." "Herd? Herd what?" "Herd of buffaloes." "Sure, I've heard of buffaloes. There's a bunch of them right there." Sometimes when we try and get our point across, it is misunderstood, like that of a city boy being in the barnyard. And we could say to him, "You're not from around here, are you?" I can imagine how Jesus must have felt in dealing with his disciples. On hearing Jesus' words in verse 60, it says, "That's a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" There are many hard teachings that Jesus speaks and are recorded for us to stumble across and struggle to understand. And is our response when we hit one of these hard sayings to withdraw pull away to stop following Jesus? Or do we buckle down and work harder to understand, to get at what he's saying for us? Today is one of those hard sayings, but it is among others. Because in Matthew 12, Jesus talks about doing a certain thing, saying a certain thing, having a certain mindset that is blasphemy to the Holy Spirit, and that is an unforgivable sin. Hard saying. In John 14, Jesus says, I came bringing a sword, not peace. A hard saying. In Matthew chapter 8, let the dead bury the dead. Really? How can those who are dead bury those who die later? A hard saying. Matthew 5, in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, if your eye causes you to want what's not yours, causes you to envy, causes you to lust, gouge it out. Ouch. Hard saying. Luke 14, if you're to follow me, renounce all your possessions. And in our passage today, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Jesus knew the people would take offense. Jesus says difficult things to get them to move from a place where they're following Jesus because they're curious. Move them beyond a place where they are convinced of what Jesus is saying and doing, and following because now, not just being curious, not just being convinced, now they are committed. That's the place that Peter responds from when Jesus turns and says, are you going to go also? And Peter says, for himself and for the other 12, where would we go? You have the words of life. Jesus is saying these difficult words in a time and place where eating flesh, drinking blood is against Jewish code, against Jewish law, Jewish practice. He knows it will offend, but he's driving the point to say, you need more than the bread that supports human life. Gets you from this meal to the next. You need more spiritual food. In that day when if there was a deep cut and blood loss, they didn't have a way to cauterize the wound and stop the bleeding. They didn't have a way to wrap it with sanitary cloth and ointments to keep away infection. That usually loss of blood meant loss of life. If not now, then soon after from the infection. Jesus is talking about the stuff of life and him wanting to be their sustenance. That in being sustained by Jesus, being given nutrition by Jesus, they would be able to live not just today, but every day on into eternity. The reaction of those who heard these words, it's softened by the translation that we read. The word is they were scandalized. Their offense was to the point of, you can't talk that way. That's a horrible thing to say. They were scandalized by what Jesus was teaching. What the people wanted, Jesus was not giving. What he was giving was this very hard answer. And they would not receive it. And as a result, it's another rejection that Jesus encounters in his ministry and in his life. It's not the first. There have been rejections by religious leaders, Pharisees and scribes. There have been groups of other religions who have come and tested him and said, we don't like your answers. We're not going where you're going. Until here, the large group of Jesus' disciples, 70-some, most of them left because of this hard message. What is our response when we bump into one of Jesus' hard messages? What is our response when we hit a hard spot in our life Do we simply withdraw and walk away and say, well, this thing of believing in Jesus and following Jesus must not be real? Do we withdraw and walk away like this larger group? Or do we buckle down like the 12 disciples and get to the answer of saying, you have the words of life. Where else could we go? Today's words are hard and very challenging because it gets to the root of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Today in America, in churches, there is a strong movement called the Seekers Movement, that we churches are trying to lower the threshold somehow to make it easier for anyone who has never read the Bible, has never heard of the sacraments or the saints or the bread and the cup, that when they enter, they're not left out. They're not offended by what is said. My guess is that as we lower that threshold in order to accommodate these individuals and make them comfortable, we're losing hard phrases like this, and we're losing the confrontation of the cross that God's love given for us cost a huge amount, cost Jesus' own life. God's own Son died for us. Have we been glossing over those hard sayings of Jesus to present a Jesus who's more friendly than even the Messiah we want to be our Messiah? Do we at times find the sayings of Jesus to be hard and then stop following? There's a truth our Bible is trying to tell us, a truth that sets our world on its end, that rattles our lives, that haunts us in the night and won't let us go when we have not lived up to it. There is the simple request of Jesus that says, follow. Come follow me. And then later, the deeper request that says, take up your cross and follow me. Most of us are comfortable with that first invitation of Jesus that comes without any other qualification, any other requirement, but simply come follow. But when we get to the harder and deeper one that says, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I must remind you that the crosses that we often put in that category for taking up a cross are not what Jesus is talking about. Baldness is not a cross. It's a genetic trait. Being male or female is not a cross. It is a gender thing. Being old, having lived many years, is not a cross we bear because we didn't take it up. Jesus is saying, you choose to take up this cross and you carry it. The cross that Jesus would carry is like none other that you and I will choose to pick up and carry. And so you see what I mean by that second level? We often get stopped there and withdraw and stop following Jesus at that request. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. It is what we choose to do. It is what is true and right for you or for me, and perhaps no one else. Discipleship and following Jesus is about who is in control. And on this day, with these difficult words of eat my flesh and drink my blood, Jesus is driving to the heart of who is in control when we follow Jesus. We cannot follow him on our own terms. We cannot set God's agenda. Remember the words of Jesus. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. The rules are different with Jesus. And if we are to live out the will of God, then we need to begin there and allow him to lead us. Him to guide us, and Him to be in control. If we don't, it will be us who walk out next time the times get tough, where we stumble into a difficult saying. A 4-year-old boy went to the doctor for a checkup. The doctor looked in his ear and said, "Do you think I'll find Big Bird in here?" The boy was quiet. Next, the doctor took a tongue depressor, asking the boy to say, "Ah," put the tongue depressor in place, and pressing the tongue down, looked inside. "Do you think I'll find a Cookie Monster down here?" The little boy did not say a word. Then the doctor put on the stethoscope and listened very carefully to the heart beating in that boy's chest and said, "Do you think I'll find Barney in your heart?" You know, Barney the dinosaur, the purple singing. Okay, yeah. The boy looked at him and said, "Oh, no. No, Jesus is in my heart, and Barney is in my underwear." I said in. I should be on my underwear. We often will wear an emblem that talks about who we are. Wear a cross. Wear an emblem that speaks of the love of God that we have in our heart. There are times in this week, and perhaps even in this day, that's going to challenge your following, my following. And our answer is going to state once again who is in our heart and who is in control of our lives. When the hard sayings come and the places of challenging confront us, that, my friends, is a hard teaching of Jesus. Because if we were going to survive this life, live our faith in the next minute, we need to follow Jesus even when times are hard. So with this passage, where a group of Jesus' disciples part company with Jesus and no longer follow him, it is they who withdraw from the team, not Jesus who cuts them from the team. So I rephrased my title. Did you pick up on that? In the bulletin it says, "Cut from the team," but it's not Jesus who cuts them. No, it is they who withdraw. They choose not to follow Jesus this day. So who's in your heart? Who's giving you the strength to face the hard time, the hard questions today? Now I have on my... Okay, we are singing it first.
Two times.
From hymn number 21.